We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The following is a KMOX Sports presentation.
You know, everyone's trying, but sometimes it doesn't work in our favor. And tonight, I think, we really just kept working and kept our heads down and played for each other, and we're predictable out there, so that's it makes the game easier.
We thought we'll be more aggressive from our zone all the way into their end, neutrals and everything, just being more aggressive, and that's pretty much how we played the whole game. I mean, we were confident in our routes, we were confident in the plays that we made, and they had a tough time with it.
Obviously, you know, we have some games where we lost 2-game leads, and you know, we talk about it inside the locker room. I think, yeah, that game we stay on the plan for 60 minutes, and you know, it was pretty good effort by everyone today.
We stuck to our systems, and we had good forecheck, good dumps, and you know, we got a good special teams tonight. Penalty killers were fantastic, so it was good to see.
We weren't playing good baseball in the beginning. It's obvious. And so we were where our record said. So, and our pitchers started pitching better, and we started running the bases better, and we just started doing all the little things better, everything that we set out in spring training to do. After that, we've been playing to our potential, and this whole time, even from the moment we got to spring training, we knew we could compete with anybody. Nothing has changed my mind, whether that slump that we hit in the beginning or how we played in the end. It's just a matter of going out there and playing, you know, high quality baseball and making the other team beat us and not beat ourselves.
They made plays down the stretch, and we had the game in our hand, just like they apparently had the game in their hands in Columbia. We had the game in our hands. We gave them a gift.
Been in the situation, faced really good pitchers here in the National League over the years. You know, Kershaw, DeGrom, those guys. You just know you got to come out there and you're going to be throwing up zeros, and you know, you got to try to match the intensity from the opponent, from your opponent. And Cole's had a terrific year, so obviously it's going to be one heck of a challenge.
On a Tuesday night, Chris Ramby with you on KMOX. It is the Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019 edition of the program. Happy to be with you until 8 o'clock tonight. It is the game one of the World Series edition of the program. The Mizzou, Kansas matchup back edition of the program. And we are hanging out over the next 2 hours. Here's what I've got planned. We are going to talk a bunch of baseball and a bunch of World Series as the Astros and Nats get going. And just under an hour in Houston, Max Scherzer and Gerrit Cole. And tomorrow, Strasburg and Verlander. Corbin and Greinke in Game 3. So some pretty awesome pitching matchups in this series, and the World Series will get going here in just a bit. Our guy Scott Braun is going to join me at about 6:30. Scott, of course, of MLB Network, he was there every step of the way with the Cardinals and Nats in the NLCS. And he will give us his take on what he expects and also talk a little bit of maybe offseason and what the Cardinals should look to do coming up. So Scott Braun coming up at 6:30, 7 o'clock hour. We will hear from John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations. We'll also talk a little bit of Mizzou and Kansas. We'll talk a little bit of football, talk a little bit of Blues, all of that coming up from now until 8 o'clock. If you want to get involved in the program, we invite you to do so at 436-7900, 314-436-7900. If you want to talk World Series, talk Cardinals offseason, talk Blues, talk Mizzou, Kansas, 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at CHRABE. Follow us on Twitter at KMOX Sports. That's where you can get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Ben Boyd is the executive producer of the program.
I've just been listening to you guys and laying in bed and falling asleep.
That's a golden ticket. That's quite the endorsement. Mike Anderson's my guy.
You got to watch the Jets. They got a good young team. You got to watch them, and you got to watch Nashville.
Well, they're playing each other.
And your wife is a smart woman.
Whoever wins out of those two, I'll pick to win the cup.
Your wife is a smart woman. I just heard that in the background.
Yeah. Smart woman. I've been married to her for 42 years.
God bless you. God bless you, Dave. So that's what we've got coming up on the program. Scott Braun, John Mozeliak from Sunday in our 7 o'clock hour, and takes, your takes. Told you that I'm rooting for the Nationals, and for a variety of reasons, I think they're really, really good, and I don't think they're getting enough credit. Houston's obviously very good, but I know maybe you fly a little close to the sun when you watch a team and you watch them in the postseason and you see a team like the Nats beat the Cardinals and sweep the Cardinals, but I just think their pitching is so good. And even if it's a little thin in terms of, you know, bullpen options outside of Hudson and Doolittle, they're rested. They've had almost a week of rest. Last Tuesday night at this time, we were getting underway in D.C. for the final game of that series. And as good as Gerrit Cole is, you know, him and Scherzer tonight, I give an edge to Strasburg over Verlander and Corbin over Greinke, and then Anibal Sanchez in game four over a Houston bullpen game. And I think the one thing that people were worried about when it came to the Nationals was the aggressiveness in using their pitching and the aggressiveness by Dave Martinez to throw Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin out of the bullpen. But guess what? They've now had a week off. So is it entirely reasonable to say that Scherzer could throw tonight and then Friday in game three, which would be his bullpen day, he could throw an inning? Sure. Strasburg could throw tonight. Saturday, which would be his bullpen day, he could throw an inning. Then Corbin goes three, Sanchez goes four. And then you can come right back with Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, five, six, and seven. And all due respect to Justin Verlander, who, I guess outside of that first inning against the Yankees, settled down and was fantastic. But I side with Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin and the rest they've had over the last week. And then Doolittle and Hudson, they haven't pitched. They can probably go just about every day. And then bridge the gap with the guys on what would be their bullpen days. Maybe that's an assumption, but that's kind of where I'm leaning. I also love the fact that, it's been decades and decades since there was a World Series in D.C. was the, what, Washington Senators? Well, they lost in 33. It's the last time they've been to the World Series. They won in 1924, the Washington Senators. So in honor of the last time that the Washington franchise was in the World Series, Mike Anderson, I would like to play another edition. And this has been on the shelf for a while. And we'll get to Tom here on the phone lines in just a moment. But it's back by popular demand. By popular demand. And it is old-timey ball player or old-timey U.S. congressman. That's right. Time to play everyone's favorite game. We take you back to 1933. And we welcome Mike Anderson to the program for the first time tonight.
Good to come on down.
We'll have Tom play in a moment when we get to his call. But, Mike, are you ready to play old-timey ball player or old-time congressman?
I've been watching and waiting my whole life to be on the show.
All right. The first old-timey guy that we have. Frederick Van Nuys, old-timey ball player or old-timey politician?
You know, I think if he was a ball player, he'd shorten that first name to some nickname. So I'll go Congressman.
You are correct. Congressman.
Yes. It'd be Freddie, a nice second baseman if he played.
All right. Your second guess. L.J. Dickinson, old-timey ball player or old-timey congressman?
See, L.J. is an abbreviation. I'm going to go baseball player. They like him shorter.
It's actually the Republican from Iowa who served the 1933 Congress.
I was paying more attention to Idaho in that race.
How about General Crowder? Old-timey ball player or old-timey politician?
General Crowder. He sounds more like an umpire, but I will go ball player.
That is a ball player. That is a pitcher for the 33 Washington Senators.
Man, I bet the general had a heater, man.
This is so good. How about Ossie Bluege? Old-timey ball player or old-timey politician?
We'll go politician on Bluege.
He's the third baseman. Can't believe you didn't know that. He socked 6 home runs in 144 games for the Sens. Tom's on the line. Tom, would you like to play old-timey ball player or old-timey congressman?
Well, I'll play it, and I got a question and a comment for you.
Okay. Yeah. How about Marvel M. Logan? Marvel Logan, old-timey ball player or politician?
That sounds like a politician's name.
That is correct. From the great state of Kentucky, Marvel was a two-term Democrat.
Okay.
We'll get back to that game in a bit. Old-timey ball player or old-timey politician. What's going on, Tom?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic.
I'll tell you, your introduction song, I love that band. And I was telling the person I talked to when I first called, I was down on my hands and knees working on my tractor, and here come the song.
There it is, baby!
Yeah, I mean, that's a great song. It's a great group. And that group, to me, is the closest sound to Led Zeppelin.
Greta Van Fleet. Yeah, they actually say that Zeppelin's not one of their influences, but it's a bunch of like 20-year-old dudes from Michigan. Well, they're now a little bit older than 20. But yeah, Greta Van Fleet, that's from their first album. Great record.
Yeah, I've got to get that. I've got to get CD. Yeah. And my question, sports related. Last night I listened to the hockey game on 101. And then after that I flirted back to KMOX, and the dude that's on there, he's taking a place. I don't know the guy's name. Apparently the guy's on vacation. The guy that's taking his place,
Brad Young,
attorney
filling in for Wrecker. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And he got on the subject that the NFL, I call it the National Fraudulent League, but they are apparently, it's a rumor, but there's a rumor going out there that the NFL is probably going to offer the St. Louis area a football team, which would be the San Diego Chargers. Have you heard anything about that?
I've seen reports or rumors, but nothing really substantiated. I don't know, man. Like, my thing is, seeing the way that that league operates, like, what, like let's just say, and I don't believe that there's a ton to this, but let's just say, even unsubstantiated, like, what would St. Louis have to do
exactly
in order for that team to come here? How much money would it cost? And you know what? I will be one to say that while it would have been great to see the Rams stay and it was a raw deal, St. Louis probably dodged a bullet for the amount of, no pun intended, for the amount of public money that would have been required to build a new stadium for a billionaire. And again, would be great to have the NFL here, but I think that in the last year or two, at least my opinion has changed so much. And seeing what the Taylor family and Jim Cavanaugh and his group, you know, everyone involved in the MLS efforts, to see what they have done and what they are going to build for this city after they have already given so much to this city, what they are going to build without any taxpayer money is amazing. And that's the way that sports should be. And just, I think we dodged a bullet. And what did Stan Kroenke ever, you know, do for St. Louis or do for downtown St. Louis? Look at,
he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was nothing but a big lie.
And the people that are behind the MLS and the stadium and the team, they've already done a ton that people see, a ton that people don't see, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And you know what? They're doing this. And I don't know what'll happen in the future, but I know that, you know, we're lucky to have, you know, the DeWitts and Tom Stillman and his group, and now, you know, the group that's heading up the MLS efforts, because public money for billionaires to have stadiums is bad news. And for a region that already needs, you know, a lot. I'll be the first to shout from the mountaintops that sports are a great thing, but we might look at this and continue to say, man, did we dodge a bullet?
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you 100%. I mean, you know, I don't know if you were around the area when he took control of the ownership.
No, okay? I was not.
He made all these pledges. I mean, how he was going to run the team, and, you know, it was going to be the New England Patriot portrayal of, you know, the way they do things, and you know, being in the locker room every now and then, and, you know, none of this ever came true. And it, to me, in my opinion, when he took ownership, I think it was in 2012, it was a plan, and his plan was to move the team back to LA, and so be it, you know, good riddance, whatever. But I heard that last night, and I thought, well,
yeah,
you know, I, what?
Yeah.
And then what was really good, Chris, was the fact that the attorney that's on KMOX, he said, this would be my demand to the NFL. If you want to offer a team this, and it was really good. And I'm thinking, you know, in other words, you're going to pay for the dang stadium, you know, and all this. And, you know, that's just not going to happen with the NFL. But like you said, look at the MLS. I mean, look what they're doing. I mean, it's not costing the taxpayer a dime. And looking back, hindsight 2020, the gentleman that bought the Jaguars, he was in competition with Kroenke, but Kroenke was already a part owner of when Giorgio Fontanari was still on the team. He's got his foot in the door, but boy, you look back at it, he's a dedicated owner, and and he will not move that team. I mean, somebody had asked him, "Hey, how about moving the Jaguars here?" He goes, "No, no. I'm committed to the city here."
Yeah. Tom, I got to run, man. We got Scott Braun coming up. Great call, though. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to Scott Braun. Here's What's on Tap, sponsored by the Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Upgrade your curb appeal now with Overhead Doors. Save $150 on your new insulated double garage door. Visit our showroom to see the latest styles and colors. Schedule your free estimate with the original, at OverheadDoorsStLouis.com. Here you go, Tom. Scott Braun next.
To the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Munganass pre-owned on South Limburg. On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
World Series kicking off tonight, and it's great to welcome Scott Braun of MLB Network to the program. MLB Tonight, live on MLB Network, before and after every World Series game. Follow Scott at Scott Braun on Instagram and Twitter for more inside access. Scott, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing really well. I don't know how to say this without sounding like I told you so, but I did predict this World Series in March.
Well, congratulations.
I got to throw it out there.
You know, we talked so much about pitching when we visited with you before the NLCS, and then during the NLCS, you were at that series every step of the way, and holy cow, did the Nationals pitch incredibly. The Cardinals bats just unable to get anything going, and the Nationals then got to sit back and watch the rest of the ALCS.
Yes, it was very nice for them to get the rest, and I know it gets talked about a ton, and I do believe in it. Obviously, for hitters, it's all about timing and rhythm, and if they haven't hit against big league pitching for almost a week, and then suddenly they're going up against the Verlanders and Coles for tonight of the world, it's going to be difficult. So maybe it helps the Astros on the hitting side. At the same time, I do think that some of the rest for their starting pitching is helpful because they're relying on the same guys so frequently. So Max Scherzer stands out by far the most because multiple times he told me, my arm's tired. I don't know if he said my arm's shot. I want to misquote him, but he said, my arm's tired. My arm's feeling like it's going to fall off. Whatever he said multiple times, that he was really giving it his all and he needed the rest. And that's why he was pretty adamant about the fact that in the NLCS, he was not going to be used out of the bullpen because in the division series, it really wore him out. So you got to keep in mind, he is in his mid-30s. He's giving his all. And I think the extra rest helps someone like him. And Strasburg was used. Patrick Corbin was used a little bit more unconventionally. He still got that relief pitching appearance in there. So I think it's not as bad as people think for the Nationals, because if they're going to win this World Series, if they're going to pull off a big upset, it is going to be solely based on the starting pitching putting together stellar performances that go at least seven innings of, you know, shutout, one-run baseball, whatever it is. That's how they're going to win these games. If they pull off some 2-1 wins over Houston because Strasburg's just unhittable for the day, I still think the Houston Astros, though, are going to take it. I've got them going 4-2 in the series.
You know, let's talk about the Astros a little bit, too, because for as good as they are, I don't want to say they've flown under the radar, but maybe it was just kind of ho-hum. We expected them to get to this point. What impressed you most about what Houston did against the Yankees in the CS?
I think it's the mix. I think that there just aren't many weak spots with Houston. And even that they can put a bullpen game together and still pitch really well is impressive. And then you've got the big boys. So what's most impressive to me, I think, also is the fact that not everybody's clicking on all cylinders for them offensively, which is a huge difference for Houston. And Alex Bregman talked about that. I think Bregman said, aside from Will Harris, Altuve, and Cole, he said, most of the other guys are not playing their best baseball at the moment. That's a really scary thing for Houston. So this is one of the best offenses that we had seen in a regular season in many years. And the stat that I like to use, very simple, OPS plus, we know what OPS is, on-base plus slugging percentage plus adjust for league and ballpark factors. And Houston, it was one of the best OPS pluses we've seen from an offense, especially when you're looking at their starting nine. So when you put that together in the postseason and some of the guys aren't performing yet, I think it's a scary thing. I mean, I really think that offense from top to bottom is one of the best we've seen in a while. And playoff ready, too, because they don't just slug you to death. They also contact you to death. And to have that combination is rare, and that's why you have a winning formula. So, I mean, someone like Yordan Alvarez, maybe does he make the adjustment and go from a guy that has slumped, especially in the past couple weeks, to a superstar again for them, because he had one of the best rookie seasons we've seen game for game in a while. So I think that's the part that impressed me the most, is that I do think they were the better team than the Yankees, and I don't even think they played their best baseball.
Yeah, Scott Braun is with us again, MLB Tonight Live on MLB Network, before and after every World Series game. Follow Scott at Scott Braun on Instagram and Twitter as well for more inside access. I think that's the thing, and not just offensively, but Justin Verlander and also Zach Greinke, you could make the argument that they didn't pitch up to the level that was expected. So similar to the offense, do you expect a bounce back from those guys and the rest of the Astros rotation after Gerrit Cole, or could the rotation be where the Nationals have a clear advantage?
Yeah, that's the spot where the Nationals are going to have the advantage. I think Cole is money right now. And I think Verlander's going to be back on track. He pretty much was back on track. He had that one bad inning against the Yankees And then he really cruised from there on out and actually saved them. To put together the six scoreless after that bad first inning really helped them out. And you really just look at it's a pitch there to Hicks, the home run that made all the difference as well, the three-run homer back in that first inning. But I think Verlander's going to shove. I think he's going to be great. I think Cole's going to be great. I'm not as locked in on Greinke. I mean, we've seen some uncharacteristic things from him. I mean, the Rays were all over that changeup in game three back in the NLDS. And then the walks early on in his start against the Yankees last series. So there are some things that stand out to me that say, you know, maybe Greinke's not handling some of these postseason pressures as well. I mean, he definitely settled down after that. What was that? A rough first inning for him as well. So I'm more confident in Cole and Verlander than I would say in Greinke, but I still think Greinke's a solid starter and they only have three and then they'll go with a bullpen game. So that's also something different because the Nationals have Anibal Sanchez and that's something they need though. The Astros do have a better bullpen depth wise than Washington and the Nationals can't afford to have one of those guys slip up. So yeah, I think Verlander and Cole, I feel really comfortable about and think about it. I mean, if they win the games that those two pitch in, then they're going to win because you're going to get two outings from both of them if it goes seven.
Scott, I know that so often we react to what we just saw, and especially covering the Cardinals and being at those games in D.C., I have a hard time not pulling for the Nationals now. I think they're a likable team. I think that they've got, obviously, superstars. There are a couple of St. Louis connections, but just being in that city, in that ballpark, man, those fans were so great. They're so excited to do something that hasn't been done in the city of D.C. from a professional baseball standpoint for nearly 100 years. You're closing in on almost Cubs or Red Sox-like drought in terms of a World Series in the city of D.C. What was your take on just the Nationals and for their first time and really doing this and making this run, being around that club and being around that city?
Incredible, by far the best team in Washington that I've ever covered, and I'm there for almost every postseason that they've been a part of since the Bryce Harper, Steven Strasburg era began, and just a completely different ball club. The only slight comparison you can make is to that 2012 team that had some more fun camaraderie. They didn't play the same. They didn't look the same as they did in between 2012 and 2019. They just got back to fun, and you root for that stuff. And it's also old school versus new school. I think some of the articles I'll dive into right before the game begins is I know there's been a few out there about how the Nationals have all kinds of scouts at the ALCS watching the Astros. The Astros have zero at the NLCS watching the Nationals. They do everything by video. So two very different approaches in terms of front offices, and it's healthy. You know what else I root for is the fact that last year the Red Sox win, and they had the highest payroll in baseball. They went after guys over those few seasons leading up to it. The Washington Nationals have done the same thing for years. They do not sit around. Patrick Corbin was a huge addition. Who knows if they even make the playoffs without him? He actually had a fantastic year. You want to use my stat on the other end, ERA plus, which adjusts based on the year and all that. Corbin had an even better year this year than he did last year. So the Nationals spend there. They go after some relievers. Daniel Hudson's been huge for them. So I love the teams that do things and get rewarded for doing that. The Astros on the other side, too. I mean, they went out and got Greinke. But back to what you're saying about the Nationals, I'm telling you, when you're in there, it is a different feel. Gerardo Parra is getting a ton of publicity,
yeah,
and I think it's warranted. He keeps things loose there. I mean, even after he's done some interviews with us on MLB Network, I know after he did Intentional Talk about a week ago, he comes back in. I think that was before game four, and he comes back into the clubhouse, and he's kind of just yelling at everyone, hey, I just nailed that interview on Intentional Talk. He's like, that was like a 10 out of 10. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here. He's like, my English was perfect. We got a new nickname for me. I mean, he's just keeping the place so loose and cracking everyone up, and that makes a difference when it's one of the most pressurized moments of your life about to come up and there's a comedian in the clubhouse. Trust me, that makes a difference. So I just think they're so much more in sync than I've ever seen them on a team level. I know you can't measure that stuff, but it's real and it makes it more fun for us to cover. So yeah, it's a great team to be around over this past month or so.
How about some of the storylines in terms of guys that are in this series, some of the premier, maybe the two premier free agents in all of baseball this offseason? Gerrit Cole, Anthony Rendon, obviously Steven Strasburg can opt out. All three of those guys, plus a couple of periphery guys, are making themselves more and more money, it seems like, with every game, every inning, every round of the postseason, Scott.
We've talked about players in the past who make a ton of money based on their Octobers, and we've talked about players in the past, too, that have lost a ton of money based on their Octobers. Last year, easy to point back to someone like Nate Eovaldi and what he did for Boston and how he got that contract with the team that he was on, but there's plenty of names you can always go against on the other end. I don't know if Yasmani Grandal has cost himself money in the past, not this year, but in the past where, you know, he hasn't showed up, especially with some, what, passed balls and some miscues and some offensive issues. But this is three prime examples of players that are going to cash out if they want to for Strasburg. I think he will opt out. I imagine for him, maybe opt out and the Nationals give him, you know, tack on an extra year, two, three, something like that, like what the Dodgers did with Clayton Kershaw. The other two cases are interesting because I don't think they're returning to those teams. And it's been incredible to see Anthony Rendon, for example, still show up in a big way for the Nationals. And this is a guy, and I think it plays to it. His whole narrative in his head is that he is going to stay level and stay chill. And we hear many baseball players say they're even keel. I mean, he is the ultimate. Keeps the emotions low. So much so that for the post-game interviews, whenever I was talking to him, Chris, I would say to Anthony, okay, what's the fun meter at? You know, so we went from like a 3 to a 4 to a 5. And I think we left it at, after the NLCS, I think he said 5 or 6. So he said, you know, I'll really go crazy if we win the World Series. And Adam Eaton told me that too. He's like, he told me if they win the World Series, he's going to show some excitement. But he thrives by being at this very low level. And it makes sense because he's not choking. He's not chasing. He's not doing anything, trying to do too much for a team that he knows the history and he knows what's at stake for him personally, which is incredible. And then you can make the same case. You know, I haven't been around Cole as much in this postseason because I was on the other side, but I mean, same thing. You're pitching under this pressure for the whole year. I mean, if it's me, I'd be freaking out. Is my arm going to hold up? All this stuff. Like I'm about to make $200+ million and they're just going out there and more than doing their thing. So yeah, incredibly impressive. And also to add to that, Rendon's from the Houston area too. So tons of storylines to get into. Joe Buck and John Smoltz will have some fun with that.
Hey, how about finally, Scott, you obviously saw a lot of the Cardinals this postseason and especially in the NLCS. I think that, you know, their pitching and as well as they did for the most part until the very end of the series and kind of keeping the Nationals lineup at bay was overshadowed by their offensive struggles. And watching the Cardinals this postseason, where do you think they need to go? What do you think they need to target kind of big picture this offseason if they want to be back in the postseason and try to eventually get back to another World Series here soon?
Yeah, it's tricky, and I'm going to have to dig more into the Cardinals in the offseason, but Chris, I'm wondering, I mean, they clearly weren't there offensively, and I get it. I mean, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're facing the Nationals, and that's just scary. When you have Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin, and Sanchez clicking at the right time, all healthy arms, you just don't run into a buzzsaw like that very frequently, so I don't know what chances they had. I mean, clearly they were outmatched, but offensively there is definitely work to do, so it's always a revolving door in the outfield, maybe figuring out some more stability in that sense. I mean, Ozuna is a free agent. I don't know what they're saying there. I know he had said at one point during the year that he wants to return, but we'll see what happens. I mean, it is real with Paul Goldschmidt, too. As great as he is, I think his top three MVP years might be behind him, a little bit less bat speed, and that makes a difference. He is fantastic, did amazing things for them defensively. That's not any, I mean, he's there now for years to come, but I don't know if you can necessarily be like, oh, well, Goldschmidt, he's our guy. He's going to be, you know, a top three MVP guy. I think you have to surround more offense around a team like this. I feel pretty comfortable about where they're at on a pitching level. I mean, Flaherty was incredible. I know Dakota Hudson had the bad game, but I like what he showed for them, especially in the second half of the season. So you could really go anywhere. I mean, relief pitching is the toughest market to get into. That is by far, most of those signings end up not working out for the next season. It's very difficult to pull off. So, I mean, if you're looking for a top-end starter, I mean, yeah, if you're the Cardinals, sure, you'd love to see a Gerrit Cole, a Strasburg opting out and signing there. I don't know how realistic moves like that are, but I think on the offensive end, you're going to have to figure things out. I mean, that lineup, that was the difference, right? The offense of the St. Louis Cardinals, it's not like the Nationals were blowing them away offensively, but the offense for the Cardinals was just not up to par. The Nationals can get away with some things because of their starting pitching. So they're going to have to tinker and figure some things out. I mean, they made significant improvements with the base running, the defense, all that stuff has been well documented. But the fact of the matter is, when we looked at the lineup on a daily basis in that NLCS, you said, oh, I don't know how this is going to stack up against these guys. And that's just not good enough. So, yeah, I'm curious to see what the front office does in this offseason. I think they'll shake it up a little bit. I do.
Scott Braun, don't forget MLB Tonight, live on MLB Network, before and after every World Series game. Follow Scott at Scott Braun on Instagram and Twitter for more inside access. Enjoy the World Series, my man. We will talk during the offseason, and I guess in about 45 days or so, we'll see you in San Diego for the winter meetings.
Yes, perfect, Chris. Great talking to you. Enjoy the game tonight.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation. A America's sports voice, KMOX. Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Limburg. On America's sports voice, KMOX.
All right, thanks to Scott Braun for joining us on the program to talk all things World Series. They'll get going in about 15 minutes or so. Who you got, Mike Anderson? Who you got? I don't think you've made your official Sports Open Line pick or prognostication. Or give me who you think will win, but who you're rooting for.
I think the Astros are the better team. I think they're going to win. And in that case, I'll root for them just so I can say I told you so.
There you go. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
And Jose Altuve is the only player shorter than me, so.
He's a beauty. Great anecdote in a piece I read this week about how when he went to try out for the Astros in Venezuela, they had scouts there, and they sent him home because they didn't believe he was 16, because they didn't think a 16-year-old could be that short. So he came back the next day with his birth certificate. He is the man. He is absolutely the man. If you want to jump in, talk baseball, talk World Series, talk Cardinals, 436-7900, 314-436-7900, or 800-925-1120. We're hanging out until 8 o'clock tonight. We'll hear from John Mozeliak in the next hour, but phone lines are open. If you want to jump in, don't go anywhere. Chris Raby with you, Mike Anderson in the house as well. More Sports Open Line after the news on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.